Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in the scriptures that we have heard and in your word proclaimed now, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 4, we read these words: "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground." The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Never mind 40 years, Charlie. 175 years is a long time. Or is it? Early in my time as minister of St. John's, I visited a member who lived here on Hamilton Street. She was in her late 80s. I told her how happy I was to be in St. John's. "Ah, yes," she replied, "we've aye had good ministers here so far." That put me quickly in my place. But then she reminisced about all the ministers of St. John's that she had known. She told me that as a little girl, she remembered seeing an elderly man with a big white beard walking slowly up Hamilton Street. It was the very first minister of this congregation, the Reverend John White. He was inducted here in 1844, just months after Carluke Free Church was founded in 1843 at the Great Disruption. John White was still the minister 60 years later in 1904, when the member I met was a little girl. So here we are in 2018, and I can remember meeting a member of St. John's who remembered seeing the very first minister of this church, who came here in 1844, a living memory spanning 175 years. This dear member on Hamilton Street is not the only one to have a vivid memory of the Reverend John White. James Denny was a professor of theology in Glasgow in the early 1900s. In March 1904, he sent a letter to a friend reporting that he had just been in Carluke for the 60th anniversary celebration of John White's ordination in 1844. Just 3 months later, Professor Denny wrote again to his friend that he was now in Princeton to receive an honorary degree from the university. So I am not the first minister to go from St. John's to Princeton. It happened as far ago as 1904. In fact, I'm not even the second minister connected with Princeton. While searching my center's archives in Princeton University recently, I found the proposal for the first ever research project to be conducted in the research center I now direct there. It was a project on science and religion, and it was to be carried out by one Dr. William Peat. Dr. Peat was my predecessor in St. John's, a fine pastor, as many of you remember, the founder of the wonderful Thursday service, and formerly a university lecturer in physics. So I'm only the third minister linked to St. John's who's also linked to Princeton, with its world-famous university and research community. When people ask me what it is like to run a research center in Princeton, convening scholars and scientists from around the world, I say, in all sincerity and truth, that I learned my craft here in St. John's, a congregation with a global vision and a global reach. Think of it. When those first members left Carluke Parish Church in May of 1843 and worshipped that first winter in the open air by the Well Green, without a minister and without a building, from these small beginnings, they were putting their hope in the growth of the kingdom of God. The triple connection of St. John's to Princeton is just one wee story out of many. Many far more amazing tales of St. John's part in the growth of God's kingdom, not only here in Carluke, but in the wider world. For example, Joanna and I are currently having the privilege of editing for publication the journal that your own beloved Dr. Anne Jackson kept as a medical missionary in Nigeria during the terrible civil war there in the late 1960s. When the book comes out and you read it, you will be as moved as we are by Anne's testimony to the risen Christ's presence with her, sustaining her as a doctor as she cared for the suffering people of Biafra amid the trauma of violence and starvation. But Anne's journal also tells the story of how St. John's and the people of Carluke rallied to our side, raising money for desperately needed medical supplies for her clinics on the front line of a war zone. How fitting it is then that God has now called your minister from the very region of Nigeria where this congregation 50 years ago did so much to witness to Christ's love and healing gospel through Anne. If I have a living memory of St. John's very first minister and of this congregation's long-standing links to Princeton, then many of you here this morning have a living memory of that young woman you sent out from this place 50 years ago to witness to the healing gospel in Africa. And now all of you, young and old, new and long-standing members of this congregation, all of you have a living memory of how the living God sent a minister of the gospel back from Africa to lead St. John's today. It is our living memory of God at work in St. John's and in the wider world through its witness that helps us to understand our gospel reading for today. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Jesus was teaching the crowd who came to hear him by the lake shore. He wanted them to understand the world as God wants it to be, not as it is, but as God wants it to be. The place where God reigns, the kingdom of God. Crowd had their own idea of what the kingdom of God looked like, with memories of their own great King David centuries before. They hoped that God would restore David's kingdom and make Israel a great and powerful nation again. The crowd that day listening to Jesus were like so many voters today around the world. Make Israel great again. Jesus wanted to challenge this idea that God's kingdom was a place of human power and might like the great kingdoms and nations of the earth, then and now. And so he told stories, imaginative little stories, to help people think differently about what the kingdom of God, the reign of God on earth in Carluke, in Africa, and around the globe, what that kingdom is truly like. Look, said Jesus to the crowd, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It is tiny and insignificant. You hardly notice it when it's planted. But when that smallest of all seeds grows, says Jesus, it turns into the biggest shrub around. So big, in fact, that the birds of the air can come and rest in its branches. The kingdom of God is like that, says Jesus. It grows unseen from the smallest and most unlikely beginnings and turns into something great for God. And how does it do that, asked Jesus? How does the seed of God's reign grow? How did it grow in May of 1843 in Carluke at the beginning of our story? How does the seed of God's reign grow in St. John's today? By all our human effort and striving? No, says Jesus. God's reign on earth grows by itself, miraculously, through God's hidden power and life and spirit at work unseen in the world. This is what Jesus says. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And he doesn't know how. In my research center in Princeton, we are just completing a project that was funded by the NASA Space Agency. We're thinking about the possibility of finding biological life, little seeds of life on other planets. And we're looking at how life started in this planet and how we, as people of faith, think about that. And you know what? The greatest scientists in the whole world have no idea how you get from something inanimate to something living. We don't know how. That's what Jesus realized. Life is a mystery and a miracle. It is at work in the world, and God alone, the Creator, makes it happen. Yes, we have our part. We must scatter the seed of God's word, the seed of God's love in the world around us, telling people the good news, loving our neighbor, welcoming the stranger, defending the oppressed, helping those in need. But the growth comes from God, not us. It is a mystery, a miracle, the work of the Holy Spirit. My sisters and brothers in St. John's, this is how the kingdom of God works. It works in weakness and small unseen beginnings, like the mustard seed. It grows unseen through God's Spirit, not our striving. We must be faithful to our calling as the church, sowing the seed of the gospel in the world in word and action, yes. But the growth is God's work, not ours. The kingdom of God that grows miraculously out of our feeble efforts and failures, the kingdom of God always remains a humble and, in the world's eyes, a weak community. To live in God's kingdom means to live utterly dependent on God's grace and power at work in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, ascended now to the Father's right hand, yes, but with the wounds of his cross still visible above. The kingdom of God, like the mustard seed and the mustard bush, is not a place of power and might, boasting of its strength, defending its borders. And let you hear me say this. The kingdom of God is not a place where we lock up children. No, says Jesus. The place where God rules is an inclusive place of welcome, where even little children and the birds of the air are safe. You see, the crowd who heard Jesus tell the story of the mustard seed, the crowd who dreamed of God restoring Israel to David's great kingdom again, had forgotten the living memory of David's small beginnings, of how God chose him as a young shepherd boy and taught him to bring down the mighty Goliath by relying not on his own feeble strength as a warrior, but on his own tiny little sling as a shepherd, which became mighty only in God's hands. When David forgot that truth and played the mighty king, he failed, he fell into sin, and he lost God's blessing. This story of the mustard seed is a story for us today. Like the crowd who first heard it, we in the Church of Scotland are in danger of losing our living memory of God's kingdom. There has been much talk in the General Assembly about finding the right plan to make the Kirk great again. A 10-year plan was thrown out, and next year's Assembly will consider a 3-year plan to turn things around and grow our numbers again. My sisters and brothers in Christ, hear the word of God to you today. It will not happen. No human plan can grow the kingdom of God. We are not in the numbers business. We are not a sales force trying to increase our market share by setting targets. We are disciples of Jesus. And our Lord teaches us that God's kingdom starts in small beginnings and grows unseen through God's unseen hand alone. Yes, we are called to scatter the seed of the gospel, as this congregation has done faithfully for 175 years. But our hope for growth is in God, never in ourselves. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It is like the smallest seed that is planted in the ground. It was in 1843. It is now. It always will be. So come now, St. John's, and find your future in God's kingdom as disciples of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the response of all our hearts to your word, O God, be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.